is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer in Canada, of Canada. His History of Canada teaches me how to observe elections in Canada. It's a different governance. It's just gone through an election that was called early by the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. The results so far are dragging on, according to Reuters, filing out of Ottawa. 3 days after Canada's federal election, the final tally of seats remained unclear, with mail-in ballots still being counted in some regions and at least one electoral district facing an automatic recount. Prime Minister Trudeau's Liberals were handed another minority mandate late on Monday in an election that ended with all the major parties holding virtually the same number of seats they had before the vote was called. Conrad, the witticism over these years is when you keep repeating the same day you had the day before, it's called Groundhog Day. Is this a Groundhog Day for Canada? What did Mr. Trudeau accomplish? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. No, I think that is an excellent metaphor. We've had an election cost $600 million, which is a lot of money in this country. And we have almost identical results to the former parliament. So, you know, Trudeau called an election to get a majority and a mandate for a platform that was rather well to the left. He doesn't have that mandate and he doesn't have his majority, but he's quite secure in government. The leader of the opposition, Erin O'Toole, had an excellent opportunity to win. And at one point in the election, it looked like he might win. And he lost, and his statement on election night was that the party had to keep him as leader because Trudeau might call another election in 18 months. So, you know, everybody lost, but everybody won. I mean, everybody keeps their position, at least for the time being, and comes back with what they had before, but nobody achieved their objectives. So it's a completely redundant election.
Rise to Greatness, The History of Canada from the Vikings to the Present, your book, and I was not able to find a previous instance where an election was called and came back with the same result. Is there one, Conrad?
Yeah, the precedent you've got is in 1965, Mr. Pearson, a distinguished man who won the Nobel Prize for Peace a decade before, he called an election to get a majority. It was only three seats short, three MPs, members of parliament short, for an election majority. So he had this election, and in fact, he gained one seat but didn't get the majority. And his chief opponent, the former prime minister, Mr. Diefenbaker, gained several seats. So it was a fiasco, rather like this one. On the other hand, the one important ingredient and indeed historic development was that Pearson realized that the separatist threat in Quebec was growing and was becoming serious, and he didn't have the Quebec members of parliament and members of his government who would be authoritative federalist spokesmen and federalist leaders in Quebec, and he brought in that election the subsequent four-term prime minister, Pierre Trudeau, this prime minister's father, as well as the head of the leading labor confederation in Quebec, Jean Marchand, and the editor of the leading French newspaper in Canada, La Presse, Gérard Pelletier. They were all strong men who began a federalist counteroffensive against the separatists that was ultimately successful in the 1980 referendum. And so something happened, although it wasn't all that obvious on election night. But in electoral terms, it was almost the exact forerunner of what we've had this week here, where the parties came back where they had been before.
To explore what this means to be, first of all, minority mandate seems contradictory, but I'll leave it alone. To explore what the minority a government will look like, according to Reuters now, and their count continues, the Liberals, Mr. Trudeau, leading in 158 of the 338 seats. The Conservatives are leading in 119. But New Democrats 25, Greens 2, and Quebec-focused Bloc Québécois look to take 34. What construction is the minority government for Mr. Trudeau of those smaller party seats?
Well, he doesn't need a coalition. You know, he's only 10 seats short of a majority. So the support or abstention of either the Bloc, which, as you say, is an all-Quebec party. They did not run candidates outside Quebec. And they ran slightly ahead of the governing Liberals within Quebec, which is no great pat on the back for Trudeau from his own province. This prime minister's father, Pierre Trudeau, ran five general election campaigns, and every one he took almost all the members of parliament from Quebec, which is in those days was about a quarter of the total. So he took half of what he needed in one province, and Quebec remained absolutely loyal to him throughout his time there. So this is no roaring vote of confidence by the prime minister's native province in him. And the long-term consequences of that are interesting. Yet it must be said, the premier of Quebec, who is quite popular, François Legault, did endorse the Conservatives, but it did them no good. So you've got a lot of cross currents here. I mean, absolutely nothing happened if you look at the results. But the cross currents show that the ground is shifting a bit.
We have a pandemic. We have a recovery. We have a hesitation over the Delta variant. Did any of those matters show up in this election, Conrad, or was this run as if the pandemic was another world?
I don't want to oversimplify and I don't want to minimize the impact of an illness that has contributed to the deaths of so many people. But there is a tendency among some people to be more panicky than is justified. And in the case of your administration there, it's a real messaging problem. I mean, now I think it is very difficult for members of the public, unless they follow it extraordinarily closely, to grasp exactly what they should be doing, because various medical officers, representatives of what is called the science, say different things about different remedies, and you know, you get the civil rights argument, which I think is overdone in some cases, but I understand why some people don't want the vaccine until it's been tested long enough to be sure that there's nothing really dreadfully wrong with it. You know, it took some years for the problems of thalidomide to become known. I understand that. And I also understand people under 60 who are healthy say, look, it's a 99.5% recovery rate. I'd rather take my risk of getting it. 80% are asymptomatic or minimal symptoms. And that's the best immunity. If you've had it, then survive it. So, you know, the coercion has its problems, but, you know, we're sort of stuck. And, you know, some people are screaming for obligatory vaccination, and others are saying that's unconstitutional in your country and contrary to Canadian concepts of liberty here. And my own view is that we should take a compromise and require apparently vulnerable people over 65 or other so-called morbidities to be vaccinated, and the rest it's optional. I wouldn't enforce a masking rule anywhere.
Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer, and the book to look to that previous instance of a minority government returning a minority government, and plus Pierre Trudeau, is Rise to Greatness, the History of Canada from the Vikings to the Present. Conrad's teaching me one exciting event at a time. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.